Blog Talk Radio. You have tuned in to Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so glad that you have joined me on today. I'm excited about each and every one of you that are joined on today. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad therein. I am so excited about you, and I'm excited about what God has for us on today. I just want to say greetings to all of my dear friends and covenant partners all around the world, those in the Philippines and there in Nigeria and Uganda. I just want to say greetings to each and every one of you in your own location and locale. We want you to know we're excited that you're tuned in on today, and even those that are here in the States, we want you to know you are very special and special and dear unto my heart. I really truly believe on today that God have a tremendous blessing for us on today, and we want to take a look at our lesson on today because we have another glorious lesson and looking for another glorious time in the Lord on today. Words of encouragement and empowerment of victorious living through biblical lessons and principle, exploring the theological implication and contextualizing the relevancy for today's living. And I know that for sure that you will be blessed. Oh, yes. Someone said that we are blessed and highly favored of the Lord. And I want to invite you to just turn with me to your Bible on today. We're going to be looking at Acts chapter number 3, verses number 1 down to verse number 10. And we're going to be talking about the first miracle, the very first miracle. And so let's take a look at our scripture on today. Acts chapter number 3 is going to be our scripture settings, and so you'll be able to find all of our reference there if you want to take a moment to read that entire book in its entirety, you will be greatly blessed. Now, we must see the first miracle set a pattern for the church. And in the church, there are always dedicated men and women ready to be used of God in a miraculous way with his power. God meets the needs of people. Now, according to the scriptures that we're looking at, let's take a look here. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat at alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonders and amazement at that which had happened unto him. So far, the reading of the scripture, and we're going to be focusing on verses number 6 out of this third chapter of the book of Acts, and it reads on this line, "Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, let's take a look here at our scripture on today and look at the word of the Lord. In both of the ministry of Jesus and throughout the book of Acts, God used the miraculous to meet the physical and spiritual needs. From the day of Pentecost forward, reference to signs and wonders are common as you read in the scriptures of the ministry of the apostles. The miracles seen in the early church were not intended to stop with the passing of the first generation believers. God desired to work through all his children, for they are members of his body, the church. Through his body on earth, he reaches people at the level of their need, both physically as well as spiritually. As he did through the first believer in the books of Acts, Jesus still ministers to the need of people in a miraculous way. Now, in this lesson, we will briefly examine the teaching of Scripture concerning signs and wonders among God's people. Now, let's take a look here, and let's look at the promise of miracles, greater things. John 14 and 12 states, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Jesus' ministry on earth was miraculous. He caused the lame to walk again, blind eyes to open, deaf ears to hear, the dead to live again, and those bound by Satan to be set free. His ministry captured the attention of the multitude as he compassionately healed and delivered them. They witnessed Jesus accomplishing what only God could do, and they listened to what he had to say. His disciples heard Jesus making a startling promise to them as well as to all who will follow him. See John 14, verses 10 through verse number 14. Now, let's look at that. It said, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The word that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." That's John chapter 14, verses 10 through verse number 14. Jesus stated clearly that those who follow him can be used to do the miraculous. How is this possible? Jesus said that believers would do the works that I do, which indicates present tense. In other words, believers will make themselves available to do whatever the Lord wants to do through them, for the Lord's work through his church. Jesus went on to say that they will also do greater works than these, by which he referred to the works that he had been doing up until that point. Now, the word greater does not mean that the believers themselves will do great, bigger or better works than Jesus did in his earthly ministry. We are Christ's representatives and his ambassadors on earth. And whatever he is doing at a specific time will be done through his church. This is only possible as we are sensitive to what the Lord is doing and to what he wants to be done, and respond obediently as he directs us. Knowing the will of God is the key to miraculous ministry. the miraculous ministry of Jesus Christ through us. Jesus knew the will of the Father. Every person for whom Jesus prayed had his needs met, because Jesus never attempted anything by human power. He saw perfectly into the realm of the Spirit and did only what his Father showed him to do. See John 5, verses 19 through verse number 20. And that scripture reads, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel." John 5, verses number 19 through verse number 20. Now, let's look at a point here. Turning into the voice of the Father. And I just want to read a story here. One man wrote of a frustration of trying to tune into a weak radio signal. "I have been in my car with no companionship but a radio. It never seems to fail in these times that just as soon as I tune in to something worth listening to, I get interested in what is being said. The voice begins to break up with static. Now, the station signals become mixed with the broadcast signal of two or three other stations all at the same time. Usually, that means I'm getting too far away from the origination point of the signal I'm trying to receive. Now, so it is that we as children of God, we want to stay close to that originating signal that's coming from the Spirit of the Lord and the Word of God. Hearing from God and tuning into what he wants to tell us is not an impossible or terrible complicated pursuit. It is a matter of establishing a relationship. It is not a matter of seeking the power of God, but of seeking God. To seek to gain the power of God is a frustrating exercise in futility. But to seek God himself and build a lifelong relationship with God is the key to enjoying a full and happy life full of blessings. Now, we're going to take a look here at six steps to establishing a relationship with God. Now, establishing a relationship with God is a process, and we're going to examine six of the basic steps involved in establishing a relationship with God and growing spiritually in him. Number one, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus gave his disciple a pattern of daily prayer in what we often call the Lord's Prayer. Jesus cautioned his hearers not to push prayer aside or become consumed by the cares of this life. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through verse number 34. How often the child of God prays and never seems to get beyond personal requests for assistance. Jesus admonished his disciples, saying, "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that what you have need of all these things." Now here it is. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Matthew 6, verses 1 through verse number 33. Now, it is good for us to take a moment here and just take a look at that. God doesn't want us to be so worried about, you know, our clothing and what we're going to drink and what we're going to eat. These are the things that the Gentiles sought after. But what we want to do is to seek after the kingdom of God and his righteousness And all these things will be added unto us. And so in essence, each day, God, we're seeking your righteousness. And Lord, your kingdom on today, your kingdom first, dear God. And as we begin to put things in the proper order, God said, I will add all these things unto you. Because guess what? You have now put God's kingdom first and his righteousness. If these are the things that you will begin to seek. God, in the morning, when I wake up, I'm waking up and I'm going to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. And then everything else is going to fall in line with our life. And isn't it so that what the adversary will have us to get up and begin to seek out those things that we have need of on that day and the things that you're facing on that day? But God said, no, if you do it this way, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else is going to be added unto you. So there it is, a principle and a nugget or a way that we can contextualize the scripture by beginning to say, now when I wake up in the morning, what I'm going to do is I'm going to acknowledge God as well as seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Let's take a look further. Jesus' concern is concerned with our physical and material and spiritual needs, but the key to having these needs met is our unselfish seeking of his kingdom and will. We should first pray for those things which are spiritual matters. As we spend time praying in the spirit, we become attuned to the will of God. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through verse number 27. And our minds are not consumed with our own selfish concern. Our thoughts turn towards the good of the whole body of Christ. In this framework, we pray for the other Christian and spiritual leaders and missionaries. We seek to see the will of God accomplished in the life of all people. By beginning our prayer time with worship and praying for things that are unrelated to our own personal trials, we turn our attention away from ourselves and upon God and his kingdom. As we pray in the Spirit, we build up our faith in the Holy Ghost, Jude 20. The result is that the rest of our prayer time is filled with faith rather than worry. Instead of focusing on our problem and becoming bogged down with worry and concern from the cares of life, we pray in the Spirit and allow God to impart his perspective into our understanding. What a tremendous impact upon how our prayer will progress. Now, let's look at another point, is fasting. Fasting helps us to focus ourselves more intentionally on God and intently on God. So it may be not to be so enjoyable, nor is it a popular practice today. Fasting is biblical and needed if we are to be strengthening spiritually. Moreover, some spiritual work is accomplished only by the joint effort of prayer and fasting, according to Matthew 21. Also Isaiah 58. Verses 6 through 11. So as we encompass and keep those principles before us and operate not out of emotion, but out of the principles of God. Now let's look at another point. Point number 3, reading God's word, the Bible. It is important that we read the Bible daily. While it is beneficial to read other books that will increase and add to our knowledge, God's word is essential to our spiritual growth. Only in the Bible will we discover the eternal principles that give abundant life. An important part of spiritual growth is feeding our minds with the sacred principles of the word of God. Number 4, exhortation. He said, till I come, give attention to reading, exhortation, and to doctrine, 1 Timothy 4 and 13. Every Christian should do his or her best to encourage fellow Christians daily. In life, we all face times of discouragement and testing. What a joy it is when others are sensitive to our spiritual condition, are quick to speak words of faith and courage to us. Now, let's stop here for just a moment, because I want to just to elaborate on that for just a moment, because it is time as never before that we can begin to say, God, who can I encourage today? Who can I call and just speak a word of encouragement to strengthen them and to undergird them? And I think that that's key and vital for us to think about, Lord, who can I? Oh, I maybe haven't seen Sally at church today. Lord, can I want to call her and let her know that I'm thinking about her and I'm praying for her? And as you continue to do that, you'll see God just blessing and strengthening that individual, because they apparently they must be in a battle and fighting against the adversary. And as we encourage them, that's going to give them new strength. Now, doctrine or teaching. By teaching the scriptures to others, whether in a Sunday school class or home Bible study, we employ that which we have learned through study and prayer. Teaching is a blessing to the student who receives it, but it also blesses the teacher by keeping him afresh in the scripture. See 2 Timothy 2 and 15. Now, consistency. The Bible has a great deal to say about the value of faithfulness and perseverance. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Christian at Corinth, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful," 1 Corinthians 4 and 2. Faithfulness builds stability in a Christian's life. As he is faithful or she is faithful one day at a time, they will discover that doing the will of God for a lifetime is not difficult. And so as we begin to do this walk one day at a time, be faithful one day at a time, then you'll be able to see, oh, well, I can do this. God is able to undergird me, as opposed to looking at the overall big picture, taking it one day at a time. Now, we looked at the six steps, which is prayer, fasting, reading the word, exhortation, doctrine or teaching, and consistency. Now, let's look at another point, the power of God. When we receive a relationship with God, we receive spiritual power. The word power in the Acts chapter 1 is translated as the Greek word dunamis, which is, according to the Strong Greek dictionary, mean miraculous power. Unusual by implication in miracle itself. Ability, abundant, meaning, and might. And these are all that is encompassed in that particular definition of the miraculous power. When we receive the Holy Ghost, we do not receive the ability to perform miracles based upon our own desires. We do, however, receive the all-powerful indwelling Holy Spirit and the ability to hear God's voice, to know His will, and to function as His ambassador on earth. We become the channel through which the power of God flows out to minister to others. Now, let's look at the prelude of the miracles. The dedicated man. The children of God who desire to please God and make themselves available for His service must dedicate wholeheartedly their lives to Him. As they seek and are obedient to the will of God, their commitment to the Savior reaches beyond Sundays and confines of the church building. Every aspect of their life become under the influence of their relationship with God. No part of their life is hidden from God. No part is off limits to His guidance and influence. As life experience proves God's faithfulness, they continue to live faithfully and dedicate themselves to God's purpose and will, and grow in their dedication to Him. And Peter and John dedicated themselves to God and to his church. And their personal sacrifice encouraged the believers as they led them in the way of God. We discovered some key principles to their greatness in the writing of Apostle Peter in his first epistle, when he shared valuable insight into the progress which God uses to strengthen and purify a person's dedication and relationship with them. Now, 1 Peter 6 through 7, it said, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if you need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trials of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it is tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearance of Jesus Christ." When a Christian or a child of God fully faces trouble or trials in their life, their faith is strengthened and their life brings praise, honor, and glory to God. God does not leave them in their trouble to suffer in anguish and defeat, but he brings forth the person with a new sense of strength and victory. But the God of all grace, who has called us into the eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. 1 Peter 5 and 10. Peter did not write the epistle which bears his name from untested theory, but from his own life experience. Jesus warned him that his faith would be severely tested, but he also assured him of the strength from God and encouraged him to be a source of strength to others. Luke 22, verses 31 to verse number 32. Like the testing of Job, God allowed the devil to shake Peter until all that remained was his dedication to God. As Jesus has warned him, Peter denied the Lord three times. During the tenth hour after the soldier took Christ away to be mocked and beaten, Peter sat nearby and denied being Jesus' disciple and even that he knew Christ. He denied the one from whom he had drawn a sword to protect only hours before. So Peter failed the Lord miserably. His faith ultimately found strength in the compassionate forgiveness of Christ. And because of his testing of his own faith, he was better able to minister to others and to strengthen them. Now, Peter taught us, both by precept and by example, that the tribulation we encounter in life can benefit us spiritually in three significant ways. And let's look at these three ways. Number one, trial moves us towards perfection, strengthening us, our weak areas of our life. Not only is perfection a state of being, but also the progress of getting to the place. In the biblical definition of the word to be perfect is to be complete. A child of God matures in Christ. They continually grow towards a perfect or complete state spiritually, and yet in Christ's eyes, they are in the state of perfection even as they grow in his will. Trials perfect us. They cause us to recognize our dependency upon Jesus Christ and promote spiritual growth. Through trials, we see our needs to be consistent in prayer and to seek God every day. Number two, trials establish the child of God in the faith. They become severely settled in Christ Jesus. In 1 Peter 5 and 10, the word established is translated from the Greek word stenzo, of which Strong Concordance gives one definition as to turn absolutely in a certain direction. Number three, trials serve to settle the child of God or to set them up upon a sure foundation. The foundation of the child of God's faith is Jesus Christ. And since trials reveal our great need for Christ's assistance, they anchor us to that foundation. Our trial helps to establish us in prayer and strengthen our faith through experience and lay a foundation of assurance and reliance upon God. All of these mere things work together to better equip us as Christians, preparing us to minister effectively by the Spirit to the lost and to one another. The two apostles, Peter and John, have prepared themselves to be used in God in a miraculous way. Dedicating their lives to God, God trusted them not to take personal credit for the miraculous work of the Spirit that he would do through them. He knew that they would respond with humility and praise to God after the miracles were done. They would not point man to themselves, but towards Christ and salvation. Now, going to pray. Acts 3 and 1 states, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour." Three specific things about Peter and John would help a person to grow spiritually and to prepare themselves to serve God effectively. Number one, Peter and John practiced a regularly scheduled daily prayer time. Not only is it important that the child of God pray, but also that they set aside time for prayer. Having a scheduled time for prayer diminishes the temptation to put off prayer for a more convenient time, which usually never comes. For some people, prayer time early in the day work well. For others, prayer time during the day or evening may be better. Sometimes a person may want to set aside an entire day or night for prayer. While it is true that our prayer time may be disrupted by necessary matters of family or business, this problem must not prevent us from scheduling time of private prayer. It is better to have our prayer interrupted periodically than to have no prayer time at all. Now, the next principle, Peter and John share their prayer time. Having someone to pray with can build consistency, and it also provides a partner with whom that they can agree in prayer and share their burdens. Moreover, praying with another person makes us accountable to each other, and mutually we strengthen each other. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he have not another to help him up. Now, I want you to catch that principle and thing of praying together. Now, let's look at the third principle about prayer. Peter and John had a regular place of prayer. Just as the disciple went to the temple to pray, the child of God benefits from having a special place of prayer. The prayer room at church, or a quiet room at home, or any place away from the busy flow of activity where we can pray, however, is not as important as it is that we pray. Now, we should have a regular place to pray and make sure you make the appointment by being there at that time or set time. Or even if you can't make it that day, be sure to getting back there the next day. So you see the relevancy and the key to the consistency is important to build strength, spiritual strength, to exercise spiritual muscles and things to grow thereby by being consistent with what God has given unto us as his principle, and then that key principle is prayer. Now, let's look at our next point, the man in need, Acts 3 and 2. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Now, the Bible does not tell us that the age of the lame man at the gate Beautiful, nor does it say how long he had begged outside the temple. However, this man had been lame from his birth, and people carried him to the temple gate to beg for alms. Everyone entered the gate, saw the man, and many knew his story of a lifetime in a walking, not being able to walk. Possibly most people saw him so often that they came to ignore him. But when he stood, walked, leaped, and praised God, no one ignored him. The lame man at the gate, beautiful, was not different from people we encounter in our world. We may have long before dismissed the thought of physical healing and walking. Many in our world today also come to accept their state of living. Some afflicted by disease, some suffering emotional stress and turmoil, some feeling social rejection, but all feeling the condemnation of sin. In our community, people live with great physical and emotional pain, some of whom we encounter often at work or at the marketplace or even in our neighborhood. How desperately the vast multitude of these walking wounded needed someone who would be willing to minister to them by faith. And so we must recognize that there are people who are walking and wounded, and we must ask God and make ourselves available to God to be used by him so that we can minister unto them. Now, let's look at the performance of miracles. We've taken a look and we looked at the preludes to the miracles of being dedicated, then also being able to recognize the benefit of our trials and tribulations, then going to prayer, being consistent, having that daily, regularly scheduled prayer daily, sharing in with that prayer with someone else, and having that place kind of carved out with, for prayer. And then we've seen there was needs for the man, the lame man, and we do recognize that there are also needs of people who are wounded from the battle, wounded from the vicissitudes of life, that we must make ourselves available unto God to minister unto them and to their faith, to build them up, exhorting them, strengthening them, and fortifying them even in their own faith. These are key for us as children of God, as never before, to encourage one another. We find ourselves living in a time where sometimes even in the house of God, there's so much contention could be there. But if we begin to individually take it upon ourselves to practice the principles and the plan that God and his will, practice that every day, living that every day, finding God, who can I encourage? Who is it, Lord, that is sitting by the wayside that has thrown themselves out of the fight and now need to be encouraged in their faith? Who is it? Who can I call? That's ministry. That's how we can minister unto others and things and praise them through and strengthen them and let them know that God loves them and you do too and is concerned about their lives and what they're going through. Now, let's take a look here at the performance of miracle. The apostle gave them what they had. Acts 3:3. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. Perhaps as Peter and John approached the temple and saw the familiar sight of the lame man, they were tempted to pass by as they had done before. They knew that they had no money to give them. Whether or not they were was their thoughts, we do not know. But we do know that they had approached him. God led them to stop and to minister to the man and to bring healing to them. They had no money, but they had the power of God in them to minister to the needs of the people. And isn't it so powerful? Sometimes God will fix our lives that we may not suffer in a place where you may say, God, I don't have no money. But God is beyond money. He's a God that say, it's going to be the greatest time that I will use you. Even though you may not have and things, because he wants to flow his power through you to perform a miracle which money cannot even buy, or even there is not a price tag to it. We must be careful not to allow an abundance of resource and programs to shortcut what God may want to do through us. It is entirely possible that had the disciple been able to give the lame man an offering that day, they would have done so, and they could have been the end of the story. Had the healing not taken place, however, neither would the revival that followed. It appears, therefore, that a lack of money allowed God the opportunity to change a life, strengthening the faith of Peter and John, and draw the attention of an entire community to the reality, power, and love of God. And so don't let the enemy attack you in your mind because you don't have the money or don't have money. I know money answer all matter and things, but guess what? When God want to perform a miracle and make himself known among a community or within a place or nation, he's going to use that one that probably is without, because they have to depend totally upon God to do what needs to be done. And that way nobody else will get the glory but him. Oh, yes, he deserves all the glory and all the honor. Oh, yes, he does. And everything we do is all because of God, the breath that we breathe, even our lifting up our hands above our heads, or even putting a spoon to our mouth. It's through the miraculous miracles of the synapse that are jumping off in our brains, throughout our body, sending messages saying, fingers, I want you now to pick up that fork. Fingers, I want you to put the money to your mouth. That's how it goes. That's how it goes. Now let's look up here. Raise up and walk. Peter exercised his faith, courage, and sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Acts 3 and 6. From the beginning of his relationship with God, it seemed that Peter's desire was to do what God wanted him to do. When the other disciple hesitated and was nervous, he got out of the boat and walked on the water. The Lord knew that in Peter he had a disciple who would act instantly in faithful obedience. Peter did not allow fear to sway him from following God's leading, but with faith in God, he declared healing in the name of Jesus Christ, and the lame man not only stood, but also walked and leaped. As humans, we make mistakes, and sometimes our fear of failure distracts us from God's will and purpose. When we learn, however, to listen to God and to obey him, we discover that our obedient faith in his divine will and purpose accomplishes wonders and even the seamlessly impossible. In order for miracles to happen today, three key elements must come together. Now let's look at these key elements. Number one, someone in need. Number two, a willing God. And number three, a believer willing to unite the two. Now, isn't that profound and powerful? The lame man certainly had a need, and obviously God was willing to heal him, but God needed a vessel through whom he could work, and Peter was that vessel. Now, we have a thing at our church that calls PEC, and that's to participate in the spirit of excellence, cooperate, and consistency. Those are the things that are vital to us as people of God when we work in there at Shekinah, as we participate with God, making ourselves available, moving in the spirit of excellence, cooperating with the Spirit of the Lord and cooperating with my brothers and sisters and the woman and the God and things as we moving forward to propelling and advancing the kingdom of God, as well as being consistent. Oh, that's a trademark there that we already have patent now. And things for the Lord, for God's people to be blessed. And so here Peter was a willing vessel. He made himself available unto the work of God. And that is a miraculous blessing, child of God, is making yourself available unto God. Amen. Peter had to be more than professing faith. He had to act upon what he sensed to be the will of God at that moment. He was not concerned with what may happen if he were mistaken. He knew the voice of the Spirit within him, and he responded obediently. He spoke with faith to the lame man to arise and walk in the name of Jesus Christ, and the man was healed immediately because of Peter's faith. He acted upon the word of the Lord, or what he heard the Spirit of the Lord that had to say unto the church. Now, let's look at the miraculous witness for the church. A miraculous witness for the church. As a direct result of one man being healed as Peter and John entered the temple, many people became believers when Peter preached to them. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men were about 5,000. Acts 4 and 4. See Acts 3 and 8 through 10. Several times, as recorded throughout the book of Acts, miracles arrested the attention of the people who were then willing to listen to the gospel, and the result was the salvation of thousands of people. From an examination of the book of Acts, it is apparent that miracles have a valid role in the confirmation of truth. They minister the grace and mercy of God to individuals in dire physical and emotional needs at the time that they were led, the individual, to salvation in Christ Jesus. You'll see Acts chapter number, Hebrews chapter number 2, verses 3 through verse number 4. Now, we recognize that God is wanting to do miracles in and through and among his people as never before. And we must recognize that God, it is his will to reveal himself to people and even those that are lost. Many of you recognize, because I've shared it on numerous occasions, the miracle about my husband, how God raised him up literally from the dead when the enemy was fighting it. And we've seen life and death struggle right there before our own eyes. But we invoke the name of Jesus over my husband, and God miraculously raised him up. And we call him the miracle man because God performed a miracle right before our eyes. And the whole church seen it and things on that Sunday morning, August the 26th, 2007. I'll never forget, around 12:30 or 1, that miracle taking place on that day. And from that day forth, we have seen God do the miraculous and seen God use and move upon his people in a profound way. Even as I had shared on the other day about the young men seeing vision and how God used three young men from our church to see vision. And I'm talking about little bitty ones, how they seen vision. God is moving, children of God. And we do recognize that. And we recognize that he said he's coming back for a church without spot or a wrinkle or any such thing. Now, I don't know about you, but I had heard on the news how that in Texas that they seen the ball of fire falling out of the sky. And they showed it on the television, things of this ball of fire going throughout the sky. I seen that with my own eyes. Child of God, God is coming back for a church without a spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And what God told me to tell his people, they need to come in the house, get into the house of God as never before, while the doors are still yet open and while that there is still yet time to get there and do the work and the will of the Lord. Amen. And it's key for us as children of God as never before to recognize and to know and think that God is on his way back. Amen, as never before. And it's vital for us to get that word out and preaching and teaching the gospel until the very last person had that opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we don't know that day or that moment, that last moment, that last individual will hear the gospel message, either receive or reject the Lord. But I tell you, we have a work. And the scripture said, work while it's day, because night coming and no man will be able to work. And that's what our women's conference, which is coming up in a couple of days, is going to be centered around. Work while it is day, child of God, as never before, and let God use you as never before. Now, let's look here. Jesus, in my closing here, Jesus recognized that besides meeting the need of hurting people, signs and wonders help to build the faith for believers as well as unbelievers. John 20, verse 30 through 31 states, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Satan has a counterfeit to God's miracle working power. You'll find that in Matthew 24:24, Mark 13:22, 2 Thessalonians 2:9. But the child of God should not worry about his counterfeit. As long as a person's desire is to glorify God and to minister to others, and they will seek to do the will of God in all things, the power of Satan cannot prevail against him. Their obedient faith in God's will bring God's miraculous work, power, to work in the lives of others. The operation of spiritual gifts in the child of God's life is a natural part of their spiritual life, and they are important tools in reaching out to a lost world, because you have chosen to operate in the will of God and being obedient in faith to the will of God. It will automatically invoke the miraculous power of God, because you have made yourself available and lined your life up with the will of the Lord and things, his will for the moment and the time and the season. God, what is your will? God, what are you wanting to do? Lord, use me today. I make myself available unto you on this day. And you don't know your smile, your kindness, how it can be healing to somebody else, that it can rob a spark of hope into somebody else's life, because you've just chosen to be kind and chosen to be loving. And so it's a choice. It's a way of life. It's a lifestyle. Yes, many are the affliction of the righteous, but God will deliver us out of them all. And we must recognize the three things that is transpiring when you're going through your trials and tribulation, that is not there to overthrow you, but is there to move you towards perfection, to strengthening the weak areas of your lives. Then it also is establishing you in the faith, and it also serves to settle you as a child of God, or to set you upon a sure foundation. So all those things that you're going through, they are working out for your good. They are establishing you on that sure foundation. They are strengthening your inward man, and you're establishing your faith in God. So don't let the adversary overthrow you in that test or that trial, but recognize it's working out for your good. It's settling you and establishing you in the work and the will of God. And so look to the hill from which cometh your help. Your help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth, and he will not suffer your foot to be moved. That's Psalms 121. And things, and after you begin to examine that whole scripture, God will, because you're looking unto the hill, you're looking unto God. Even when Stephen was being stoned, he looked up to heaven, and you may be finding yourself in a place that seems as though you're being stoned by the adversary. I just want you to look up and live. And things, and watch God fight your battle on your behalf. Turn it over to Jesus And Jesus will work it out on your behalf because you want to stay in the will of God. Remember, the scripture said that he will reward us. God will reward us according to the cleanness of your hand. Don't let people pull you into gossip and he say and she say. Don't let people use you as a dumping ground and the whole thing. You know, immediately after they share their concern, let's say, let's go to God. Let's go to God immediately. Let's pray about the situation. And once you begin to do that and get into a practice like that, what you're saying is that I'm not taking on this. But what I will do is take this to the cross of Calvary and leave it there and things and let God work it out. And so that's what we have to do as children of God, learning how to not become bogged down with so much of the cares of this world and the weight of things that want to come upon us. Cast your care upon God because he loveth you. And as you begin to cast your care upon them, guess what? God's going to take and lift that heavy burden off of you and going to strengthen you as never before, even in your inward man. I pray, oh God, for whoever listened to us right now, that you, Lord, would lift that burden off their heart and mind, the perplexity even of their mind, or what tomorrow will even hold and bring. God, you have never failed the child of God. You never will. You are God that cannot and will not lie. And oh, shalatobo, we stand upon your word and decree a blessing for your children and decree a miracle in the finances and, Lord, in the lives of your people, in their home, in their children's lives, in their children's children's lives, Lord. And to all that are far off, God, we speak that blessing, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Have thine own way, O God. Have thine own way, Lord. Thou art the potter, and we are just the clay, O God. Mold us and shape us. But God, we say, have thine own way, O God. And we thank you, Lord, for what you would do in and through the life of your people, Lord. Because we put not our trust nor our confidence in the arm of flesh, but we put it in your name, Jesus, in your power, and, oh, God, in your ability to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think, according to the power that is working within us. Lord, you have your way. Release your people. Oh, God, release the abundancy out upon your people, Lord, in these times of famine and drought, Lord. We know that you're able. We know that you're willing. It's your good pleasure, God, to give your people the kingdom of God. And Father, we thank you for your righteousness, your joy, and your peace, God, all in the Holy Ghost, dear God. Let your kingdom continue avail and prevail in the life of your people. And Father, we thank you. We give you the glory and honor. Now, Father, I pray a special blessing upon my covenant prayer partners all throughout the round the world, that you will strengthen them, that you will fortify them, bless their ministries, that you will give increase to them, God. And, Father, we thank you, Lord, as they turn back and come back and say, oh, Pastor, thank you for the prayer. God did it by sending forth the testimonies and visiting, Lord, the website and things. And even, Lord, have another donation in their hearts and mind to bless the work of the ministry as never before. And I thank you, dear God, because you are a gracious God, and a good God, and a right now God. And so the Bible said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. And then the scripture went on and said that it didn't profit them because it did not cup. They didn't couple it with faith. And I pray that you couple that prayer with faith and believe God, because you can pull it down with your faith, that God will do it on your behalf. And so in my conclusion, I want to say I thank God for you. You and you, yes, you. Even though you was able to come in a little later, we want you to know we appreciate you, and we pray that God will bless you in a mighty and a special way, and we welcome you again to being with us on this day, and we excited, so excited about what God is going to do in and through the lives of his people. And remember, when you are down to nothing, God is up to something in the life of his people. And in my closing, As I always will say, if you don't have it, God got it. And you just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you, according to Matthew chapter number 7. Chapter 7, verse number 7, and verse number 8. God's going to do it. Hold fast, child of God, and God will do it in and through your life. God bless.
Oh, that's right. Well, because there isn't. Got to say, ponder the steps that we take. You got to ponder the steps that you want to take. Well, Sasha, just put it on the altar and pray for him. Just put it on the altar. All things are possible through Christ. All things are possible. And as you keep it like that, that's the only way. There's a mode of operation with a mom, and that's through the eyes of faith and what God is saying outside of that. No, I didn't say that. I said for mom. I said for mom. I didn't say for Tasha. I said for mom. It's not an intentional thing. It's just a thing that mom always do, even when I talk to them. I talk to them the same way. Because when I open myself up, I don't open myself up to a whole lot of stuff, and that's true. And I just might as well just, you know, just share with you. Mom, don't. There are certain things I do not open myself up to. Now, I'll listen and I'll hear and things, but there are some things that it's just like someone gave me an analogy, and see, which is so true. It's that, you know, if you open yourself up, it's just like a little dog. You open the door, you don't see him, but he just grab a hold of you and you can't shake it off. Some things you just don't shake off. Certain things I just don't like. I have in my spirit. And there are certain things.